Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I continue my conversation with Terry Arco. We touch on chlorine byproducts. I'm also going to ask him about the possibility of liquid chlorine tablets. And we're also going to discuss what Terry would do if he were a pool service company owner today and how he would approach the pools on his route. So I think you're going to get a lot of great information out of today's podcast. Pool Service Pro, open a Leslie's wholesale account today and receive wholesale pricing on products you use every day. Leslie's Pool Supply offers convenient locations that are open 7 days a week. Another great benefit of opening a Leslie's wholesale account is Leslie's referral program. Get referred to a customer looking for weekly pool service. Save time and money and grow your pool service route and become a Leslie's Pro. So has Arenda changed Hasa in any way with their philosophies and the way they do business? Or has Hasa rubbed off on Arenda? I mean, where's the middle ground with the merger?
I think we're rubbing off on each other, and we're learning from each other. And, you know, the cool thing about it is we could have been butting heads, right? Like happens a lot in the pool industry, unfortunately. It seems like people like a good argument better than they do, you know, a good discussion. But we both came into it, you know, from sort of the congenial side of things. We knew we had to work together, and we knew that if we could work together, it would be better for the industry. Let's think about this. We are a pretty powerful education force right now, the two entities together. Mm-hmm. I would dare say we're probably one of the most powerful and well-known in the country between the two of us. And so we have to make this thing work, and we're committed to that. And we're committed to teaching what's proper, teaching what's proven, teaching things that we can back up, you know, with scientific, you know, papers and proof, you know, that we're not knowingly going to go out and deceive or mislead, you know, the industry. That's not our intention at all. Quite the contrary. We want to help the industry. And we want to help the industry to get better. And so we've come together in a good way. And I think on either side, you can find, as I said, you can find, I call it the bridge. There's a bridge. There's a commonality that exists in both of our teachings.
Yeah, and I recently started a new video series on different aspects of chlorine and enhancers, things like that. And one thing that I did bring up in the video that I don't think a lot of people talk about, and you talk about all the time, of course, is the byproducts of the chlorine chemicals, because everything in nature has a byproduct. You put fuel in your car, it's going to put out carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide. So every chlorine has a byproduct, trichlorocyanuric acid, calhypocalcium, and liquid chlorine salt. So you want to share a little bit about, since, of course, you're more liquid chlorine centric, and you may have a bias here, but the byproducts that are added to the pool, share a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I guess I would say, you know, like you said, if I have a bias, my bias is not really because I work for Hasa. My bias is because when I did pools, you know, 30 years ago, I used liquid chlorine, and I was in Southern California, so it just happened to be Hasa. But I mean, from a service side, experientially and from a grassroots standpoint, I've always been more of a liquid guy overall before I even came to Hasa. And so talking about byproducts, yeah, yes, you're going to get byproducts. And that's another thing where there can be some ignorance, if you will, or lack of knowledge, and particularly in the area of trichlor and using trichlor tablets. And we know that, you know, especially Southern California, certain areas, That trichlor is very popular, and that trichlor as a primary form of sanitizer to get us through week to week is very popular. But there's a byproduct from that trichlor, which is cyanuric acid. And that's good from the standpoint of stabilization of the pool, but it's bad from the standpoint of the excessive buildup of CYA and what that's going to do, you know, to the disinfection, the need for more chlorine to get proper disinfection. And so you're looking at, you know, let's say every week you're putting two trichlor tabs in, a feeder or a floater, that's 6 ppm of CYA that's going up every week if you're aware or not aware of that. So that's a byproduct, and that's a detriment to total dissolved solids as well. And Cal Hypo, you know, I mean, it's not big in SoCal in certain areas, but it's certainly big in Texas and certain areas of the north and northwest areas. It's bigger, even Northern California. So that's another one where you've got calcium as a byproduct, and you can have up to 8 ppm for every pound of like 65% Cal Hypo of increase of your calcium hardness, which can lead to problems like scale, and it contributes to your TDS and so forth. And so with liquid, I think one of the reasons why I'm just, I guess, biased is because, first of all, liquid is the most quick acting form of a chlorine you're going to need. It doesn't need to erode. It doesn't need to dissolve. It's when it hits the water, it's working like now. The second thing is the byproduct of liquid is salt. It's sodium chloride. I mean, it starts with sodium chloride, it ends as sodium chloride. And you can say, well, that's a lot of salt, and that's a lot of TDS buildup. And you would be right. However, if you take cyanuric acid, we know when that goes up, and that increases your TDS and everything else, you've got some disinfection interference that's going to come from that. And with Cal Hypo, so that calcium's going up, you've got issues there with scale and cloudy water, things like that can occur. But if you get an increase of TDS coming from salt, from liquid chlorine, there's no interference, there's no detriment or interference to disinfection from sodium chloride. It will not cloud the water, and it will not create scale. So I would say, out of all the byproducts that are going to be released from any type of chlorine, what's coming from liquid is going to be the least detrimental. And for sure, if you were shocking with liquid chlorine in a salt generator pool, that's probably your best form of shock, because it's just giving you a boost up of the salt that's in there.
I think most of the pool pros have taken over a saltwater pool where the generator is not working, and the TDS in there is like 5,000 or 6,000 parts per million. And really, very rarely do you run into a problem balancing that water, even with all that salt just sitting in the pool, not being converted with a non-functioning salt cell.
Sure. Yeah.
So the listeners, what would you say would be the best combination for their pool? Like if you were the owner of a pool company, what would be your method of taking care of the pools?
Well, I would primarily start off with knowing what the source water is of every pool that we're responsible for. If it hadn't been done, if there wasn't information or whatever on what the source water is, where the source water is coming from, that's vital. Do you know if it's coming from a well? Do you know if it's coming from a municipality? Every one of the pools I have, I would have a test done of the source water of every aspect. I would test for pH. I would test for alkalinity, calcium hardness, total dissolved solids. I would test for chlorine, because there is chlorine in source water. They treat it. And some of it's higher than others in different places. And the thing about that is I would do a combined chlorine test of my source water, because most of the chlorine that they use to treat is chloramines. It's chloramination. So you want to know that. And then I would test for metals. I would test for phosphates to know what that is. And so you understand when you're filling that pool, when you're topping that pool off, what's the effect that's going to happen from that standpoint. So that would be a number one start. Then, you know, I think the place to begin is your calcium saturation. So you may do an LSI to begin with, and also do a calcium hardness test and make those kinds of adjustments. I'm not completely anti-trichlor or anti-tablets necessarily. But I am of the opinion that those are to be used to get you through the week, maybe in the season, end season, and shock with liquid. And then when the season comes to an end, it cools down, go off of the tabs, and you can go straight with liquid. So that would be kind of, I think, the approach I would have. That's kind of simplified, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you answered the way I thought you would answer it. And I think the pool pros should take that to heart and follow that method. And since you mentioned tablets, someone asked me about this, and I'm going to ask you and see if this makes sense to you. They have Cal Hypo tablets now, which they have a binder of some kind in there that make that solid.
Yes.
Trichlor has paste and binders that make those solid. There's a new phosphate tablet on the market. I'm not sure what the binder is on that. But someone had asked me, well, why can't they make a liquid chlorine tablet, find a binder that can make it slowly dissolve over a week, and we would have Cal Hypo tablets, trichlor tablets, and liquid chlorine tablets. Now, I don't know if that's science fiction going into that territory, but is that even possible?
I don't know that you could produce sodium hypochlorite as a solid and it would still be sodium hypochlorite. I don't know that, mm-hmm. or what the purity would be, or what that would do, or what even what kind of binder they could use, to do it. So I think that's a question that's kind of beyond me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a chemist and a formulator, but I think just from my limited understanding of bleach. I mean, there's powdered bleaches, but those usually are have different potassiums and things like that mm-hmm. in them as well. So I don't really know completely okay. if that's feasible. I would think if it was feasible, it would have been done by now. And maybe it's just there's a cost involved there that's restrictive as well. So
yeah, that's what Bob Lowry had always said about new products. I always ask him, hey, why can't they make this product? He goes, well, they can. It's just cost them a fortune to make it, yeah. and then trying to find a market space for it, which is kind of how Cal Hypo tablets are still not really, they're kind of marginalized still.
Well, and that's why lithium, there was a form of chlorine lithium hypochlorite, mm-hmm. But you never see that anymore either. And the reason yeah. for that is that it became so expensive that it became like a dinosaur. It just faded away because of cost.
And I think we can end with this here. Now, Hasa is expanding, and you mentioned that you're mainly in the West Coast, and Arenda, part of acquiring Arenda was to expand Hasa. So let's say you're listening and you're in Florida where there's like six chlorine companies already. Maybe not Florida's not a good choice. Let's say you're in Georgia and you're in Atlanta and you really like the idea of Hasa coming out that way. And, behind the scenes, Heritage was kind of bought out by Home Depot. That was their parent company. So they're a pretty big distributor. So are we going to see Hasa, in the next 2 or 3 years, Atlanta, maybe even as far as New York?
I don't know about New York, but I would say we're definitely, let's just say Atlanta, Georgia, the South, something like that. Or let's just say east of the Mississippi, that sort of thing. I think you will see that, keeping in mind that we're very strategic about what we're going to do, because I'll just use this example. We're kind of like In-N-Out Burger. Okay. So if you're familiar with how In-N-Out Burger has begun to branch out and grow, but you know that the thing with In-N-Out Burger is they always want to be close to that organic supply of fresh beef, potatoes, the bakeries, the everything that they want. And if they can't, if they're somewhere where it's just, they're not in that range, well, they're not going to be there. And that's the way it is with Hasa. I mean, we are a milk run. We want to provide, we're not going to, back off on being able to provide as fresh and as pure and as newly produced product as we can. And so we have to strategically have some places where we can find a company and it's a plant and, we can produce in that area and then we can go from there. So it's going to take time, because that's our strategy. That's our focus. It's not just going to be willy-nilly. We just want to grow. It's going to be, we're going to strategically grow. So it's going to take time, and we're going to take steps in that direction.
That's good. I can't wait to Hasa's national and maybe even international. You'll be able to go to Brazil and pick up a case of Hasa chlorine.
that would be something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least get to Hawaii, because they always complain about not having liquid.
Well, Hawaii is a challenge because you've got a lot of weight of stuff and you've got to put it on a boat. There's not much of an other way to get it there unless there's a plant on the islands, and that's a possibility. But again, everything has to do with cost.
And if you're looking for the first part of this podcast, you can find it really easily by going to my website, swimmingforlearning.com. Clicking on the banner, there's a podcast icon. Click on that, and then you'll see a drop-down menu of 1,400 podcasts. And simply type in the search box, Terry Arco, and this first part that I recorded with him about Hasa and Arenda's merger 1 year later should appear there. And if you're looking for coaching or any kind of help with your pool route, I have a coaching program. You can learn more about that at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.